Amen. This morning I have for you one of those, I'm going to give you my 2 cents message. And I guess if you want to entitle this message, it would be entitled, If I Were You. And so I want to bring some things out in the scriptures today for us. And how many times have you ever looked at somebody and you may have said to them, if I were you, and then you go ahead and you give them the advice. And sometimes the advice is wanted. Other times the advice is, no thank you. And then all kinds of statements we come up with, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. And, for some of us, if we give too many pieces of our mind away, we're not going to have any left. And so that's what this message is about today, it's my 2 cents message. And so Brother Cleo is going to come up and he's going to read for us Matthew chapter 22. Starting in verse number 34, and we're going to go down through verse number 40. It's a familiar portion of scripture for us, and then we're going to be flipping through the Word of God today and looking at some things here. And so I want to encourage you to be ready and have your fingers nimble and ready to go. Brother Cleo, why don't you come and read for us?
Morning, beloved. Morning. Chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you again so much for the day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and sing praises to your name, Lord, to worship you here at church. And Father, I just thank you for it. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help us during this time. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see with our eyes and hear with our ears and open our hearts to what you have for us here today. And Lord, I pray that there be anybody among us today that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they would get saved. Lord, I pray that if there by anybody that's tuned in today and listening, Lord, needs to be saved, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would understand and see and get saved. And now, Father, we pray for those that are not with us today, Lord, due to illness and sickness, Lord, I pray that you would just be with them. I pray that you'd touch their bodies. I pray that you'd heal them, that they would be able to be back amongst us. And Father, we just pray that you would have your will and your way in each one of our lives. And Lord, we just want to pray for those that are hurting today. And Lord, and that you would just take care of the needs that are represented. And we'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. As I was saying here, this is this command in that we read this morning in the Word of God, in verse number 40, it says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And basically what that's talking about is if you get these two down, all of the rest of them are easy sailing. All of the rest of the things in God's Word and all of the rest of the things that God commands us to do is easy sailing if we can just master these two here. And so I want to kind of go over this morning and talk a little bit about it. These commands are given in the Bible at least 9 different times, starting from the book of Deuteronomy all the way to 1 John. Now, you say, well, why is that significant? Well, I think something that God repeats that many times from the beginning to the end is very, very important. Application of these commandments is important. Because as we read here in the text and in the scripture, there were some religious leaders in the Bible day that knew these commandments. They could quote these commandments. For example, this young lawyer, his motives in speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read, were not pure motives. He was looking for opportunity, along with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, to find a way that they could accuse Jesus, or to find fault in things that he was saying. But what we see here is they weren't ignorant of these commands. They knew these commands, but the application of these commands, they were not abiding by. They were not doing. They didn't have them in the right place of their lives. And you know, I'm really afraid that sometimes in our lives, we know more than what we apply. We know right, we know wrong, and we're too busy applying wrong, and we don't apply right. You know, it doesn't matter any at all that if you know the truth and you don't apply the truth. And so this morning, I want to bring out some things here and just share some things with you, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. My first point here, and if you'll listen closely, I'm kind of using a play on words here. If you'll listen really closely, if I were you, this is what I would want for you. If I were you, this is what I would want for you. You know, and again, as I was saying, you know, so many times we like to give a piece of our mind, or we like to put in our two cents. And I know I've said this to people, and people have said this to me. Well, if I were you, and then they give you their advice. But if I were you, this is what I would want for you. And let's go to the scriptures here and look. In verse number 37. As the question is being answered, as Jesus is answering the question, he says here, and Jesus said unto them, unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Now I put down here on my paper, love the Lord thy God. You know, if I were you, this is what I would want for you. I would want you to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. You say, well, what are you talking about there, preacher? With all your heart. We've talked about the heart before, and how significant the heart is. Most people that make emotionally moved decisions, they generally never complete those. They generally never do those. But when we make a heartfelt decision, we usually follow through with this. I've told you all as a church before, I want us to be a missions-hearted church. It's not good enough to be just missions-minded, because missions-minded don't get stuff done. Missions-hearted, when you move it down to your heart and you put everything into it, that's what gets things done. If you'll open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 13 here, and the first command here is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And I want to make some application here. In Romans chapter 9, and starting in verse number 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people today that know the gospel. They know about the death, they know about the burial, they know about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they know about his virgin birth. They could quote you scripture after scripture after scripture. I had a grandfather, and it breaks my heart that he died and is spending eternity in hell. And my grandfather could quote you verse after verse after verse in the Bible. He could give you the plan of salvation. He could quote you every verse. And there was no question in his mind that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. There was no question in his mind that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for the sins of the world and for his sins. There was no question in his mind that Jesus rose from the grave and was alive and sitting on the right hand side of the Father. He knew it. There was not a question in his mind about those facts. But for him, it wasn't in his heart. Because he would tell you, I'll not commit to what I can't live. And he would tell you, that's all fine and well, but it's not for me. He had the knowledge, he had the scripture, but he lacked application. You know, there are some folks that today that have the knowledge, and they have the scripture. And the Bible says here, for that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, until we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, until we bring our knowledge to our heart and make a commitment and actually accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, it doesn't matter what you know. It matters what you believe and what you've accepted. And the Bible says that if we'll do that with our heart, it says, thou shalt be saved. And then it goes on to say in verse number 10, you see, this heart thing is very important. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Until the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has moved to your heart, until the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has and faith in Jesus alone and nothing else has moved to your heart, it has no value to you. But when it does, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You see, Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10 tells me that there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one. But you know, when I apply the gospel message to my heart, and when I believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It doesn't say with knowledge man believeth unto righteousness. It says with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And then it goes on to say, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And until that hits your heart and comes out your mouth, if you die, you will spend eternity in hell. You will not you will not have a home in heaven. But the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, if we put that in our heart and confess it with our mouth, the Bible says that the confession is made unto salvation. And it goes on to tell us here in verse number 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know, as I've talked about this before, we've got some folks that go around and they profess to be saved. But honestly, by looking at their lives and by seeing how they live and what they mean, I really kind of doubt whether they really truly are born again. Because the Bible says here, the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know, we've got a bunch of people that are running around, they're professing Christ, but they're ashamed of Christ. You know, they'll live worldly so that they don't stand out. They don't want to be identified as a Christian. You know, when you don't want to be identified as a Christian, there's a problem. There's a serious problem. And what that problem is just plain and simple, you ain't born again. Yeah, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior, because the Bible says, for the scripture saith, not Pastor Mark, not Faith Independent Baptist Church, the Bible says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And if you're ashamed of what you believe, the Bible says that you're not saved because the scripture saith. Then it goes on to say in verse number 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over the rich unto all that call upon him. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Greek. It doesn't matter whether you're a bad sinner or you're a not so bad sinner. You know, there's going to be a lot of sweet moral grandmas die and spend eternity in hell forever. because it's not based upon their morality. It's not based upon their goodness. It's based upon what Jesus Christ did, because even the most sweetest, wonderful grandma is a sinner. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, sometimes we look at the person who their life is wicked and they're living wickedly, and we say, well, yeah, they're definitely somebody needs to be saved. Yes, they are. But the Bible tells us here, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over for the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon the name of the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad you are or how good you are. The Bible says, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. And it doesn't matter what kind of life you lived. He's willing to forgive you. The Bible tells us in Romans in chapter 5, it tells us that God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I was talking to a gentleman this week, and one of the things that he told me, he said, well, one of these days when I get my life straightened out, when I get my ducks in a row, then I'll come to church and I'll get saved. And I told him, I said, that day will never come. That day will never come, because you can't live good enough. You don't have enough ducks to get in a row. And sad to say that he would not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. But the Bible says he's the same, and it doesn't matter who you are. And then the Bible goes on to tell us in verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, I love that whosoever. I love that whosoever, because it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how wicked you are or how moral you live. If you'll call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says you shall be saved. And if I were you, this is what I would want for you. If I were you, this is what I would want for you. I would want you to know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. I would want you to know that when you closed your eyes in death, that you would be spending eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. If I were you, this is what I would want you. This is what I would want for you. If I were you, I would also, as the Scripture goes on to tell us there in Matthew, it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And I got to stop and I got to thinking about the Scriptures there and what it says in there, that we're to love the Lord thy God with all our soul. You know, that put me in the mind of somebody that is totally sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and the Bible says with all your soul. What is your soul? What is your soul? Your soul's that inner person. Your soul's not this flesh on the outside. Your soul is really who you are. And I would, if I were you, I would that you would love the Lord thy God with all their soul. And you know what that means? Being totally sold out. The Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 19 and verse number 30, as he was talking to his disciples, he talked about it is finished. When he was hanging on the cross, he stuck it out until the very end. He stayed. And let's go look at that scripture. It's a wonderful scripture there in John chapter 19. I would that your soul was sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says here, and when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You know the thing that we know about the Lord Jesus Christ? He was committed all the way. He was had the heart and the goal to finish the job that God had given him here on this earth. And the Bible says that first of all, we should love the Lord thy God with all our heart and with all our soul. Brothers and sisters in Christ, are you truly sold out? Are you committed to finish the job that God has given us here on this earth, and that is to take the gospel that I just got finished preaching to the entire world? You know, the problem that we have today is many Christians are not sold out. They may have gone as far as accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but their inner person is not sold out. I want to encourage you this morning to sell yourself out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Commit to finishing. You say, well, that scripture you read there, do you realize what was happening to the Lord Jesus Christ at that particular time? Yes, I do. The Lord Jesus Christ at this particular time was hanging on the cross of Calvary. It had become utterly dark. And that was God the Father turning His back on His only Son and telling Him that I can no longer look at you because of the sin of the world that has been imputed, and what that means has been placed upon you. And when that took place, the Bible says Jesus cried out and said, "It is finished." Christians, I would that our souls were sold out like the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ and committed to "it is finished." Folks, we still got a long way to go. We still have a lot of people to reach. And if I were you, I would want your soul to be sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to tell us, "with all thy mind." You know, Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33 tells us, "Seek ye first." You know how most people read that? "Seek ye first myself, then the kingdom of God." But that Bible verse says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know, as I got to thinking about "with all thy mind," what does that mean? How, you know, and as I got to thinking about that, how could we apply it? Where, and the Lord brought that verse to my mind, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," where our minds, our thoughts begin and end with what is most important to God the Father. What is most important to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we let the world deceive us. We let the things of the flesh get in front of us. You know, the Bible verse, Matthew 6:33, says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." You know why the Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God? Because it's human nature to look out for yourself. It's human nature for your thoughts to be about you. It's your human nature for your mind to be fixed only on what you want. You know, if I were you, you know what I would want for you? I would want your mind to be the thoughts of God. That in your mind, that the first thing that you thought of is what is more important to God. And that you'd follow through with that. And see, the Lord Jesus Christ, as He was talking to that young smart aleck lawyer that was looking to trip Him up, and unfortunately, a lot of times that's our attitude, folks. Jesus answered and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." If I were you, this is what I would want for you. You know why I would want these things for you? Because first of all, I would know your home in heaven is secure. I would know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and as the Bible says, sealed unto the day of redemption. And you know, that's wonderful. That's a great thing. I don't have to get up every morning and wonder if I died, I'd go to heaven. Because I know that I am sealed by the Holy Spirit of the Lord, and I know that my home in heaven is secure, and I know no matter what, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, and He loves me, and the peace and joy that comes over my soul, and the ability that it gives me in my soul to endeavor to do what Jesus did, and that is to finish. If I were you, this is what I would want for you. My second point here this morning is, if you were me, let's turn this around. If you were me, this is what I would want me to do. If you were me, this is what I would want me to do. Let's go back to our text here, Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Says in verse number 38, and this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you were me, this is what I would want, this is what I would want me to do. First of all, I want me to love my neighbor. The Bible says, shalt love. Why does God have to command us? You know, that word shalt is an affirmative word. It's a commanding word. Why does God have to command us to love our neighbor? Well, because sometimes our neighbors are hard to love. Yeah, you know, sometimes our neighbors are not even easy to get along with. You see, love doesn't depend on their mood. Love doesn't depend on their actions. Love is not an emotion. Love never takes. Love always gives. And the Bible commands us in the Word of God that we should, that thou shalt love thy neighbor. You know why we should do that? We should do it for God's sake. Look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Let's go over to John chapter 13. We should love our neighbor for God's sake. John chapter 13, in verse number 34, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. You know, so many times the world looks at us in our church, and they might look at the backbiting and the arguing and the fighting. And you know what they come to the conclusion of? If that's God, forget it. I don't want a part of it. You see, love is commanded, and it's commanded for the sake of the Lord. And as he said here, a new commandment I write unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And then it goes on to tell us in verse number 35, by this shall all men know ye are my disciples. What separates a Christian from a lost person? Well, from what I'm reading here in the Bible, is following the commandment and loving our neighbor. You know, that's not only our next door neighbor. That's not only the neighbor down the street. That's not only the neighbor that you're sitting next to. Neighbor, what it's talking about there is anybody that sits beside you, or anybody that God puts in your path. It goes on to say, thou shalt love, and then it says, thy neighbor, those whom God puts in your path. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter whether they're saved. It doesn't matter whether they're lost. It doesn't matter if they're in church, out of church. The people that God has put in your path, they're your neighbor. And let's look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 35. The Bible says, "For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. And I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, or you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to the disciples here, and he was giving them an illustration. And this king here, he talked about the good things that were done to him, and he went on to say that he was asking his disciples. And he went on to let them know that the good things that he'd done to him. And the disciples looked and said, "Well, what good things have we done to you?" And he went on to explain to them that what he meant by neighbor was those who were in need. The ones in need are our neighbors. The ones that are in need of salvation, they're our neighbors. We need to take them the gospel. And you know, sometimes as we take the gospel to somebody, what we've got to do is we've got to help them out with some things along the way. We might have to inconvenience ourselves and give something or to do something. As the scripture says here, "When I was hungry." You know, when a person is hungry, we need to make sure that they get fed. And sometimes by feeding somebody, it's a good avenue of giving them the gospel. And it says, "When I was thirsty, and when I was a stranger." You know, we've got a lot of strangers around that are just waiting and looking for somebody to reach out and befriend them and talk with them. And so it tells us here that our neighbor, and the Bible makes it very clear who our neighbor is. It's those people that are in need. It's those people that are sitting next to us. It's those people that live next to us. Those people that we touch in our lives, and even our brothers and sisters in Christ. And folks, if you were me, this is what I would want you to do. If you were me, this is what I would want you to do. Because it's the right thing. It's the correct thing. And then he gives here in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 25, he goes on to say, or Matthew chapter 22, he says, "Thou shalt love this, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." You know, God gives the measurement of how we should love our neighbor. You know, there's not a one of us in here could say, "Oh, I enjoy walking around hungry. It just thrills my soul to death to be thirsty. It just thrills my soul to death to be naked. You know, it just thrills my soul to death to be all alone and have nobody with me." No, if you were me, this is what I would want you to do. I'd want you to reach out to the hungry, to the naked, to the stranger, to the thirsty, to the one that's alone. You know what God expects us to do, folks? God expects us to do just that. Because he went on to say here in his word in verse number 40 of our scripture here in Matthew chapter 22, he said, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Let's flip over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. It says here, "That which ye have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with you." Is with the Father, and with the Son, and with his Son Jesus Christ. "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If ye say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If I were you, this is what I would want you to, if you were me, this is what I would want you to do. You know the third point here, as we look at Matthew, and it says, and on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Again, what that's talking about, brothers and sisters in Christ, if we could master these two commandments, the rest is easy sailing. The rest will all be finished. The rest will all be done. The lost will be reached. The hungry will be fed. And you know the best part of what it tells us there in John? You want to know where true happiness is? You want to know where true joy is? You know, you want to know where true peace is in your life? Is right here in these two commandments. If you would fulfill, if you would work on fulfilling these two commandments, you would have the joy and the peace in your life that you're searching for. You might say, well, you know, preacher, what are you telling me? My life is going to be easy, everything, I'm going to have everything I want, and I'm never going to have another trouble. No, I'm not. But what I am telling you is in the face of trouble and in problems, you'll have joy, you'll have peace in knowing that God is in control and everything will be all right. We've been studying in Genesis on the, about Noah. You know why Noah could step out into the, off the ark where there was absolutely nothing? Because he knew what God had done. And God told him to go and move forward. And he just trusted God for what God had already done in his life. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're truly born again, and if there was nothing else that ever happened in your life except for that, nothing else good in your life that ever happened besides that, that'd be the best thing. That would be the only thing that you would need. And that would be enough to joy and have peace over. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, if I were you, this is what I would want for you. If you were me, this is what I would want me to do. And as we kind of think about each other and we put, and I guess what I'm asking you to do this morning here is to put yourself in your neighbor's shoes. Walk a few miles in theirs. And then ask God, now what do I do about it? How can I help? What can I do for this person? True joy and happiness and peace in your life rest in these two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Brothers and sisters in Christ, where are you in your walk with the Lord? And for those of you that are here today, and you might say, well, preacher, that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I don't understand what you're getting at here. Maybe it's you need to meet the Savior. I'm not talking about a head knowledge. I'm talking about a heart knowledge where you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You might say, "Well, I'm a church member, or I've been baptized, or you know, I'm from a religious home, or you know, none of that is important. What's most important is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And as the Bible says, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved." And so I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you doubt that you might, you may have some doubt about your salvation, we're going to have an invitation here this morning. And I encourage you to step out and come forward. You say, "Oh, well, people are going to, well, people may think." Don't care what anybody thinks. Don't think what they think. Don't care what they think. Because it's between you and God. And I encourage you to come out and step forward and let us take the Word of God and show you Scripture by Scripture how you can know for sure, how you can go home today with a complete assurance that Jesus Christ is your Savior. And brothers and sisters in Christ, what about your neighbor? What about your neighbor? What would you want for your neighbor? And what would you want if you were me? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the new year that you've given us this year. Lord, the new opportunities that we'll have to preach the gospel. Lord, the new opportunities that we'll have to go out and visit people. And Lord, to tend to those who are hungry and those who are naked and those who are alone. And Father, those who are in prison. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to reach out, Lord, to no matter what walk of life a person may be, to share with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to reach down and to love them. Lord, help us to seek for your kingdom and for your will and for your desire and for your direction in our life. And Father, we live in a world today, Lord, that is so hard. We're told every day what we deserve. And the truth of the matter is, Lord, we deserve to spend eternity in hell forever. But because of your grace and your wonderful gift on Calvary, we can go to heaven. Now, Lord, have your will and your way in our invitation. In your name we pray.